Hey everyone, welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, an episode where instead of discussing something that aired on Toonami, we discuss something that maybe could have, I guess if Toonami had started about 20 years before it did. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about the new adventures of Batman. And oh boy, this show.
Oh my god. It's a... Filmation's Batman show, which actually was produced at the same time as Hanna-Barbera's show with Batman.
Yeah, Super Friends. This was aired in 1977. It features Adam West and Burt Ward as Batman and Robin, respectively. Also, Batgirl makes appearances, as does Batmite, the little demon creature. I don't know. He's not really a demon. He's more
he's
of
like
a sprite.
An imp.
Yes, an
imp.
That's
from
a good way to put
another
it.
Dimension, and he likes Batman and torments him and messes with his plans, as any like dopey dumb sidekick would. Except Batman just resents him the entire time, which is pretty great.
Adam West's voice acting whenever he like interacts with Batmite is so funny because he just sounds like a disappointed dad. Like. He's constant. Oh, it's incredible. So this is kind of a sequel to the 1968 Batman/Superman hour, specifically the Batman half, which in 1969 was aired without the Superman half and renamed Batman with Robin the Boy Wonder. It's also probably worth mentioning that Riddler and Scarecrow were featured in Challenge of the Super Friends, meaning that Hanna-Barbera had the rights to those characters, and Filmation wasn't allowed to use them, which is also why Joker is pretty much entirely absent from Super Friends, despite being a very obvious character to have in there. So, you know, the weird existence of two different companies making two different shows based on the same set of characters, and the weird legal bullshit that happens because of that.
I guess that's just not a new thing. You think like with the whole like Sony having Spider-Man and then Disney having the rest of Marvel and they're constantly having fights over that shit, like you think like it wasn't like this in the past. Oh yeah, it was.
Yeah, apparently it's always been like that.
Always just been a big copyright pain in the ass,
but more for DC than Marvel, I guess. So yeah, this show is nuts. Basically, each episode is more or less standalone. They feature some villain who has some kind of plot to take over the world or do something stupid. We watched five episodes, and generally speaking, I enjoyed them quite a bit. I don't know. You seem to be more annoyed with them than I was, I think.
I found it to be enjoyable, but ultimately grating. There's a lot of choices with like voice actors and characters for humor. Like, this is a goofy fucking show. It's goofy with a capital Garsh. This is goofy ass Batman. Like,
well, yeah, okay. Fucking... So the first episode we watched is an episode called "A Sweet Joke on Gotham City," and this features a villain called Sweet Tooth, who is an obese man with pink hair and bad teeth who, like, has the most ridiculous voice and laughs every, like, half line of dialogue, basically, in this weird stuttering way. And
he turns all the water to chocolate. That's our fucking go here.
he holds Gotham for ransom by turning the water supply into chocolate syrup. And obviously, everyone is mortified by the idea that the kids of the city are going to have their teeth rot out of their heads by drinking all this chocolate syrup. At one point, Dick Grayson has to infiltrate Sweet Tooth's gang, which is a bunch of also like kind of obese kids with bad teeth. And
they all have like turtlenecks.
It's really weird. But the point is that in this scene, you have Robin being like, I can't believe they're eating all this candy, and like spitting out candy, which is like, fuck you, come on.
That's like that moment from the Batman episode where Batgirl's like, oh, I wish I had chores.
Exactly.
Like, no, come on. I mean, you're going to eat the fucking candy.
I would eat the candy now. I'm an adult in theory anyway.
My teeth hurt after eating like two pieces of candy. I'd still do it.
So Yeah, this episode's just crazy, and it's the stupidest thing. It's like the most, I guess what's really strange about it is it strikes me as such a like quintessential 80s episode of a cartoon where there has to be some kind of weird moral lesson. And it's like, don't eat too much sweets, kids. I suppose that
by
kind
moral
of
lesson, do you mean the bat message?
Yeah.
Which, yeah, a segment at the end of the show where the Batman has to describe like the moral of the show.
Ostensibly.
Kind of weird.
Sometimes it doesn't make any real sense what the moral is, and usually it involves Batmite in some way, which again makes no sense. But
no one seems to fret over the fact that there is like an interdimensional teleporting little imp that just hangs out, and they don't use them very often. There's several scenarios where like Batmite could actually be useful in that he could teleport or fly, but like they just capture Batmite in a cage and it's like, oh, I guess he's captured now. I guess he can't teleport anymore.
No, he can only teleport when it doesn't narratively matter.
The internal logic of the show is very flawed.
It's all over the place.
There's several moments where it's like they go from like in problem solving, they go like A to B to like Q. It's like, what? Huh? Like, why would they decide to do that? Oh, we're trapped inside a giant clam. We got to find the clam's nose.
Yeah,
I'm going to plunge her up to its nose and throw pepper in it to make it sneeze.
Sneeze us out. What? Yes.
Okay.
This is an episode called the Bermuda Rectangle that you're referring to.
Of course.
Featuring a villain perhaps even more ridiculous than Sweet Tooth, a man named Professor Bubbles, who talks like, I mean, the unfortunate thing is, like, I feel bad doing this, but basically this is his voice. Like, that's the voice.
That's literally his voice.
It is just the voice actor moving their finger up and down across their lips as they say the dialogue. And it's ridiculous. And his plan is to use these giant, like, bubbles to capture ships transporting some kind of new technology. And then he has a shark that's trained to drag the bubble down to the seafloor.
Yeah.
And I guess he's going to hold them ransom. Although there's nobody on these ships either, because they're all automated, because clearly no humans can be in danger. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, this is all eventually solved by Batman managing to gain control of the shark by using some kind of weird, like, voice modulator. And, and there's a point where they're trapped inside giant clams. Like clams are the most fucking threatening animal in the ocean. Clams, things that can't move.
The villain's voice is like, it was really grating on me after a while, because it's like, it's hard to understand him. And there are times when he laughs in that bubbly voice,
and it
just sounds like complete nonsense. It's like, it's like, fucking shut up.
This is also the point where I realized that Sweet Tooth was not the only villain who is going to laugh halfway through every line of dialogue. Literally every villain does that, and they all have a ridiculous laugh, from Penguin's to Mr. Freeze's like to you know whatever else. They're all the Joker basically, but with slightly different coats of paint. I like, the thing about this show that's kind of unfortunate is it's actually hard to talk about how ridiculous it is without just describing it. Like, I mean, there's a whole episode of this where Penguin is trying to win an election of Yuck, the yearly underworld convention. He's trying to win an election to be president of this convention against the Joker, and his plot to do this is to use what he calls crime slime in order to turn Batman and Robin into criminals. And so we get about half of an episode of Batman and Robin with these ridiculous voices pretending to be criminals.
Yeah. Instant Brooklyn accent. Like,
yeah. Robin has the immortal line, yeah, but make sure it's against the law. I want to have fun doing it. Because And again, this is them pretending to be criminals, and obviously they're doing a great job, because if I know one thing about criminals, it's that they're constantly like, let's go break some laws. Yeah, like they're the exactly. fucking punks in Repo Man.
Yeah. The God. And like,
oh, also in this episode, Batmite and Penguin's personalities get switched. Why does that happen?
Yeah.
I don't
oh
know,
my God.
But it does.
Yeah, Batmite gets sprayed with the stupid fucking spray. Like, okay,
yeah,
first of all, the crime
slime
is a spray.
Yeah,
it's never
slime.
A slime.
It's not a slime at all.
No, they just call it that because it rhymes. But no, it's a crime spray. Batmite gets sprayed with it, and for some reason, when Batmite gets sprayed with it, it switches his body with the Penguins, and they're just like, I guess that just happened. Like,
right, like
wow. There's like no explanation whatsoever. It's just like, yep, this is randomness, I guess. Okay.
And also, it seems to be a completely superfluous plot point. Like, did we really need that too? It wasn't enough that Batman and Robin were being turned into criminals. Like, no, you know what? We gotta have a body swap in here too.
And Batmite still has his powers in Penguin's body. It's not as if the Penguin gets like access to new cool powers.
Yeah, it's just, oh man, yeah. So this show's crazy, basically.
At every episode, there's a moment where you're just like, am I high? like every episode feels like a fever dream, kind of like, right. There's a point where it just kind of all goes so off the rails that it's just like, this is, I don't know, man, I can't handle this.
Well, also, there's a few scenes in this where it's just really creepy. And not for any good reason. Like, it'll just be a scene between, like, Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne where, like, Dick Grayson's cutting Bruce's hair, which is weird. and it's just playing this music in the background that's, like, kind of eerie. And the angles are all off. And it's like, what is happening? Am I, it feels like a bad dream. It's completely bizarre. Also, the music never fits the situation, I feel like.
Yeah.
It is constantly crazy and goofy. Batman and Robin do flips and bullshit everywhere.
There's so much unnecessary gymnastics, because I'm guessing this is the time in the 80s or the 70s, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe not.
70s.
Maybe I'm wrong. There was a time when like gymnastics was super in vogue and it was in every cartoon, but that might have been later.
Sure. I mean, really, the key moment of this is, again, in the episode where Penguin turns Batman and Robin into criminals, where they get out of the Batmobile, swing around on ropes, jump around, tumble around, do all this shit for like a minute straight, and then they just end up back in the Batmobile and like in ejector seats that turn into helicopters. Like,
yeah
it's just this completely,
they're like,
unnecessary.
Their goal is to get to the top of this building. They do a bunch of flips only to just land back in the Batmobile.
Yeah, it's, you like, think they're getting to the top of the building, but no, they're just showing off for a while, I guess. This show is crazy. I honestly thought it was pretty damn enjoyable, but I will say, do not watch the episode, The Deep Freeze, featuring Mr. Freeze. It is pretty terrible, mostly
it really
because of
is
his
like
sidekick.
It is the prototype fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. Like, it absolutely is.
Yeah,
he's like
much.
Got this obnoxious German accent and telling the worst Freeze puns. He has this sidekick who is just fucking so unfunny and annoying. He's kind of like, I don't know, Barney Rubble or some shit, but he's just miserable all the time.
Yeah, this guy, and Professor Frost, who's constantly cold because he has to hang out with Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, and they just lean on him for so much of it. That episode is some excruciating television.
Yeah, I would
that
say
one really wore on me.
I would say that try to track down episode 4, A Sweet Joke on Gotham City. I found that one to be hilarious.
That's pretty great.
And there are a few more that are worth watching. We'll throw up some clips. So maybe just check out our social media, or, I don't know, track down a DVD of this or something, if that's even
Where
possible.
Is our social media, Doug?
Oh, that would be facebook.com/HBpod or Twitter @HBpod. And yeah, we will definitely post some clips from this show, because this show is probably best absorbed in form of out-of-context clips.
Yeah, I think you need to see it. There is no context in this show. It really just kind of
that's true
goes out the window after a couple minutes.
That is true.
So what do we got next week?
Well, next week we're going to be watching Sailor Moon S, the movie, returning to that classic series that we've had such ups and downs with, I guess. But I'm curious about the movie. I've read a little bit about it. Apparently it involves some kind of ice person. So, you know, that should be fun.
Yeah, I think this is the one where they all sing When the Saints Go Marching In the beginning in broken English. I guess that's in the Japanese version. But...
yeah, probably, but I guess we'll see what happens. After that, we'll be watching Zoids, which we've watched a couple of episodes of accidentally. Yeah. And oh boy.
It's great. It's something.
Zoids is something.
So many G Gundam voices. It's just
That's really the best
fucking
part.
Every voice actor is in it.
But that'll be a couple weeks from now. Next week, Sailor Moon S, the movie. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week.
That's a wrap on the bat.